Hello, and welcome to the Lying Media Bastards radio show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
We'll be right back.
Hey folks, you're listening to the Lying Media Bastards radio show. Just there, of course, was Rabia contra la Machina, Rage Against the Machine. Or maybe it's Furia contra la Machina. I forget. No Shelter. That song was sort of a weird, ironic thing. They recorded that song. That does not appear on any of their albums. It appears on the soundtrack for Godzilla the Movie, the film that came out in... Am I too far from the microphone? Movie came out in, 97, something like that. And, obviously it was this, Godzilla was one of those blockbuster marketing clusterfucks where it's, nobody cares about the movie, if the movie's any good. It's just how much marketing, how many tie-in products, how much advertising, how much related merchandise can you sell. It's about making a cultural phenomenon. And Rage Against the Machine decides, okay, we'll do a song for your clusterfuck of a movie for the soundtrack for it. And but our song is going to be about the power of the media and entertainment in particular, the ways in which they ruin society and get people's eyes thinking, you know, get people's brains thinking about the wrong things. My favorite line out of that song is, "The thin line between entertainment and war." But I'd recommend listening to that song and paying attention to the lyrics. It's pretty well done. I don't know if that method works. The whole idea of we're going to hijack some popular mass media product and insert our message, and that'll make it worth the damage that we do by getting money to, you know, whatever big corporation put out the Godzilla movie. They made a lot of money off the soundtrack. And corporations, of course, once they have money, do evil shit with it. So you got to say, okay, well, sure, we used the means of this multi-million-dollar conglomerate, multi-billion, I suppose, dollar conglomerate, and it spread our message to tens of millions of people who otherwise wouldn't have heard it, and that makes it worth it, the fact that we made hundreds of millions of dollars for that same evil corporation. That's the whole concept. It was one of the whole concepts of Rage Against the Machine. I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. Jury's out. But I had a little theme for that set, and I may have themes continuing on through the show. Before that was Entertain Me by Blur, and we started off with Sleater-Kinney doing Entertain. Both of those sort of dealing with the shallowness of culture when it becomes obsessed with constant stimulus, stories, media, television, soap operas, whatever, being thrown at them. For their enjoyment, for their in some cases for almost their soul enjoyment. You know, you go to work all day and hate it, and come home, and the only enjoyment you get there for some folks is watching the television. And then on weekends you go out to movies, and of course alcohol plays a part. Then you go to the bars, but sounds like a negative thing. And this Sleater-Kinney, they talk about. In their song Entertain, there's also a lot about it, reality television. Reality is the new fiction. And they sort of talk about how that's true in a way, because what we think of as fact gets made up. There's as much fiction in our truth, in our journalism and media, as there is fiction in our fiction, which is sad and disturbing. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. Thanks for listening. I got all kinds of crap written down on a little card here that I want to talk about today. I don't know how much of it I'll get to, because I realized I wanted to rant about Iraq and American culture. I will try to get to, of course, to Iran, talk a little bit about Amanda Marcotte, who feminist blogger who I interviewed on the show a couple years back, does the blog Pandagon. To my disappointment, she quit working, or she greatly reduced her input into that blog, because she was going to become the official blogger for the John Edwards presidential campaign website, and then a bunch of right-wing whack jobs looked at her old blogs and tried to say that she was anti-Catholic and tried to get her fired. The Edwards campaign agreed not to fire her, but then she went ahead and resigned because she felt that she was having to watch everything she said and couldn't fulfill her duties doing whatever it was she intended by working for John Edwards. But she also, she got, that shit came from her talking about religion, Catholicism mainly, and their birth control and reproductive and sexist policies. So we might talk a little bit about religion. Let's see. We'll talk a little bit about Rupert Murdoch, and got some fun ranting from another fella about gadgets. About how there is this sort of class, mostly of upper middle class young white men, and their obsession with shiny electronic gizmos. And I thought the fella had this fella. He used to work for a blog called Gizmodo or Gizmodo, and he's since quit and has a few choice words for folks. Let's see here. But, yeah, but no, I want to talk a bunch about Iraq and Iran and America and the media and politics, and that's what I do. Now, but first, a fun little bit of media news. And by fun, I mean sad, and by sad, I mean I'll pretend to be sad for a second for humor value. Let us all wait. Let me... Moment of silence. Turn off the music. Moment of silence. I saw today. It's a news rumor, but apparently it may actually be true. MTV will be canceling the television show Total Request Live. Moment of silence. We're done. But as you may or may not know, that was a popular television show for a good decade, I think, on MTV. It would sort of build itself as this sort of top 10 countdown, top 20 countdown of the most popular songs of the day. They also had a small live studio audience of screaming teens who then they would have on live talent. Sometimes, you know, live musicians would sometimes perform, or they'd have, you know, celebrity of the day plugging their product of the day. You know, guy, actor plugging his new movie, or, you know, guy with a new CD, or, you know, DVD, or whatever the fuck it was. And, but for quite some time, the music industry was totally enthralled to that show. If you had a record, and you couldn't get it on TRL, you would not be able to sign with a big label. You would be destined for the indie labels, if that. And, you know, TRL was supposedly... you know, fans called in. You would watch the show and you'd make a phone call and you'd say, you know, push the button. I want song number 3. I want the new Britney Spears song to be number 1 on the countdown. And people would be excited, pretend to be excited. Oh boy, Britney's at number 3, or she's at number 5, or, you know, whatever. And MTV actually had their building in Times Square in Manhattan. And every time TRL was on the air, there'd be this huge throng of screaming teens around the building who wanted to get invited inside the building so they could be on TV, because people want to be on TV because they think it makes them famous, or they can brag about it, or they're fucking stupid. I'm going to go with the last one, because they're fucking stupid. They want to get on TV. But apparently, Total Request Live is just not pulling in the viewers it used to. MTV has helped shorten the attention spans of our youth to the point that they can't even watch a music video. hence the popularity of YouTube, where you can watch half of a bad video that your neighbor across town made, where they lip-synced to a terrible rap song wearing a baseball hat on sideways. And, God, you know, for all the good stuff I find on YouTube, that really makes me sad, the amount of just utter crap. I clicked on something and it was some teen girl and she was doing a diss rap with like a really bad drum beat in the back, and she had the baseball hat on sideways and she's doing the hand gestures as though she was a gangsta, you know, 14-year-old white girl in her bedroom doing a diss to somebody else on the internet, and it made me cry. But anyhow, Total Request Live going off the air, fuck you guys. And I wish I had a song that was about Total Request Live, Carson Daly, Screaming Teens, idiot pop music, all of that together, but I don't have anything that's exactly appropriate. And because of that, you get my standby when it comes to issues like this. And many of you, I think, will know what it is. So we're going to go with it. And Yeah, so I'm making a mental note. If I'm talking about media and entertainment and idiocy, we will have to discuss Anna Nicole Smith, but just briefly, because I don't give a fuck about her. Did anybody? But I'm sorry, that's drifting from the song. We will go with the song. I'm not online at the moment. If you're listening to the show live, I'm turning on, as we speak, our instant message programs, so you can send a message to Radioactive SD and say a few words. But yeah, here's the song. Thanks for listening.
cutting edge of science. Just try to see in the dark.
just try to make it work, to feel the fear before you're here. I make the shapes come much too close. I pull my eyes out, hold my breath, and wait until I shake. But if I had your faith, then I could make it safe. Asleep today. I never thought this day would end. I never thought tonight could ever be this close to me. But if I had your face, then I could make it safe and clean. If only I was sure
for the telephone to ring.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you'll see the Lying Meaty Bastards radio program. That is, there was The Cure doing 10:15 on a Saturday night. And I played that because, just prior to that, I played a cover of The Cure by Pyeong Threadwell, I think is the name, Pyeong Threadgill, a nice cover of Close to You that was all done in, like, strings and whatnot. But, was my computer freezing up? Yeah, that'd be unfortunate. Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe we get a day's worth of jazz background music for everybody. So The Cure, doing The Cure. Pyeong Threadgill also doing The Cure. Then The Raconteurs doing Teenage Kicks, I believe originally by... who was that originally by? The Undertones. I think Rolling Stone picked that song out as like a classic rock song. It was some sort of like, they gave it some sort of award for like best rock song ever made or something like that, and it is enjoyable. That's a cover of it by the Raconteurs, who are some sort of rock band that's not fronted by Jack White of the White Stripes, but he's in the band. And then before that, this creepy little romantic song, Charlotte Gainsbourg doing Operation. I played it on the show before, but I just hadn't actually listened to the lyrics that well. You listen to it, and it's, I realized after I saw the name of the song, the name of the song is Operation, but, I was starting to think that, that I had the name wrong, that I thought it was maybe about, an autopsy. It's this song about, you know, being with someone you love and getting to know them better by, cutting them open and sticking your hands inside them, and, you're, look how much closer you are now. At the end, it says something about the heart was rejected, so perhaps it was supposed to be the story of somebody who loves someone else, cuts them open, but the person doesn't love them back, so they cut them open to stick a heart into them, assuming that their unrequited love would be true if only the person had a heart. So, creepy. And we started off with Dead Kennedys' MTV Get Off the Air, because I'd been talking about MTV before that. I'm looking at CNN.com right now, and I'm surprised to see, I don't see any stories about Anna Nicole Smith at the top of the webpage. When I woke up this morning, like, the number three story was the one about, it was about, like, Anna Nicole Smith's relatives were fighting over her corpse, and, what should happen to it. Who should get possession of it and all that. And really, are you going to get a more important story than the story of a dead woman with big boobs and who has control of that dead body? Important stuff that this nation needs to know about. It reminds me, for obvious reasons, some years back, John F. Kennedy Jr., or R.F. Kennedy, some Kennedy child. I don't recall who it was. The guy who ran George Magazine, when that magazine was in existence. I remember he died, and they acted as though it was a national tragedy, and we should all be very sad. And of course, all the deaths of these people are sad because they have friends and they have loved ones who are going to be left behind with grief and pain and all that. And I feel very sorry for them on that level. But, you know, thousands of people die every day in this country, and their stories aren't getting on the news. I mean, Anna Nicole Smith, I haven't researched her much, but as I recall, her claim to fame was she posed in Playboy because she had very large breasts, and I believe she looked something like Marilyn Monroe. Her next claim to fame was that she married a dude who was like 80 in a fairly transparent ploy to get his money because he was really rich. Then there were some court cases, or where she was fighting to get the money versus the old man's children, I believe. And then after that, then she had this reality show where she showed that she was kind of this weird, stupid, obnoxious person. And now, she's dead. So, not exactly top news. Yet, for the past few days, it would have been hard to get away from seeing any of it on CNN or Fox News or the New York Times or anything. I heard a commentator on a different show, a show that was talking about politics, a fellow pointed out that in the 90s, remember the Rwandan genocide when like maybe a million people died and nobody in the U.S. seemed to know or care too much? This fellow pointed out that at that point in time, when that genocide was going on, the media was consumed with the O.J. Simpson trial. Now, that was a very weird time for me because I actually lived in Los Angeles where the trial was taking place. I was actually on that same freeway that O.J. was on that very day. We went the opposite direction, I think. My parents were coming to pick me up from college, and apparently they were behind O.J., so quite a distance, of course. They weren't, like, trailing them. You didn't I'm not saying they were just outside the camera footage you all saw on TV that day. I'm just saying I was around there at that time. UCLA was not far from Brentwood, where the murders took place, and of course LA was where that trial took place, so it was even more intense news coverage in LA of the trial. And at that point, I actually stopped watching the news, stopped reading the news, and made every effort to not pay attention to the O.J. Simpson trial. But, as this fellow points out, maybe part of the reason the Americans were not so knowledgeable or outraged about the Rwandan genocide was because every waking moment of CNN and MSNBC and all the cable channels, every moment of that was on O.J. Simpson and his trial. So the story of one guy who may have stabbed two people managed to push off of the headlines the fact that thousands of people were hacking to death hundreds of thousands of people with machetes, which is how that genocide took place. It was not like the concentration camps in Germany where they put people in the showers and gassed them or shot them with machine guns. It takes a lot of fucking effort to kill a million people with machetes. But thank you, mass media, for making sure that we don't pay attention to the deaths of people that maybe we could have done something about. So, Anna Nicole Smith, rest in peace. Fucking weird, stupid shit. Let's see here. I don't know if there's anything quick I can go through on my show today. I know, we'll do this quick little bit. I don't think I mentioned this on the show before because I don't think I've been on the air in a while. Rupert Murdoch, as you probably know, he owns News Corp, one of the largest media conglomerates on the planet, and which includes all the Fox television stations and the Fox News Network. He was interviewed during a panel. He was interviewed by Charlie Rose, the boring PBS interviewer, the late night show. There was this panel discussion at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Happens every year. A bunch of rich businessmen get together and talk to other rich businessmen. And economists, I imagine, are also involved. Charlie Rose asks the asks Rupert Murdoch, head of News Corp and Fox News, if his company had been able to shape the agenda on Iraq. And his response, Rupert Murdoch, was, "No, I don't think so. We tried." I say that way because he's Australian. That was a quick and dirty Australian accent, I suppose. But right there, admission from the head of Fox News. We tried to influence the opinion. But he seems to think he didn't succeed. So I don't know what sort of parallel universe he's living in. But, yeah. Now, got plenty of crap to talk about here. First, let me mention, I don't think I've been on the air since my car was stolen. My car was stolen a few weeks back while I was buying a keyboard for this radio station. I was inside the store, and while I was inside the store, somebody took my car. My little bit of advice to you is if you go shopping and you're parked in a big parking lot, particularly if it's a big shopping center or a big parking lot near a freeway, I would say that be more careful than you normally would. And also, don't take a load of stuff from inside the store, put it in your car, and then go back inside. Because I think that's happened to me twice now, where I've been in that sort of situation. I think that's... I think the thieves look a little bit more closely at cars like that, where they see somebody walk in and then walk out of the store, stop the car, walk back out into the store. I think people say, you know, that guy's going to be inside for a while. I'm going to take his stuff. Or her stuff. Of course, you know, as I said, cars been stolen twice in a very similar way. I think this is a sign that I need to become a car thief. And it should be very simple. I need to find people who drive cars like mine, who look like me, and I'm all set. Those cars will be easy to take. They won't be filled with valuable merchandise. I know this from experience, but I will get away clean. Now let me mention, I mentioned earlier this fella. Let's see, where's his name? Joel Johnson. Used to be editor of a website called Gizmodo, which was always about gizmos, gadgets, cool little iPods and digital cameras and voice recorders and all this. But he's upset about this now. And let me just read you this quote from an article he wrote where he is condemning the love of gizmos and gadgets of this class of wealthy techie young men who got nothing better to do. You guys just ate it up. Keep buying shitty phones and broken media devices, green and dripping with DRM. You broke the site, Gizmodo always talking about, clogging up the pipe like retarded salmon to read the latest announcements of the most trivial jerk-off products, completely ignoring the stories about technology actually making a difference to real human beings, because you wanted a new chromed robot turd to put in your pocket to impress your friends and make you forget for just a few moments, blood coursing as you tremblingly cut through the blister pack, that your life is utterly void of any lasting purpose. Stop buying this crap. Just stop it. You don't need it. Wait a year until the reviews come out and the other suckers too addicted to having the very latest and greatest buy it, put up a review, and moved on to something else. Stop buying broken products and then shrugging your shoulders when it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Stop buying products that serve any other master than you. Use older stuff that works. Make it yourself. Only buy new stuff from companies that have proven themselves good servants of their customers in the past. Complaining online about this stuff helps, but really, just stop buying it. Get it together. Every single one of these consumer electronics companies should be approached as the enemy. They work for us. Hold their feet to the fire when they say their product is going to change even a small part of our lives. Circle back again in 6 months when they're shilling the incremental upgrade and ask them why the last version didn't cut the mustard. That is a fine rant. which and you must love that he refers to all of these gizmos and phones and MP3 players and cameras as chromed robot turds, because they kind of are. Let's see, what should I speak of at the moment? Let's talk about Iraq and the media. Sort of in the past few months, more folks have been talking about what role the media played in making this war happen. I think this is coming about because the American people have finally woken up and said, hey, wait a minute, this war is going bad. All the stuff they told us about it wasn't true. Maybe we ought to leave. And because of the people feeling this way, suddenly the media finds themselves with a bit of a spine, or I guess more accurately, is swaying in the direction that the wind is blowing, so that they can say, they now feel safe. Before they were afraid, uh-oh, if we say bad stuff about the president in the war, the American people won't like us. We want them to like us, we don't want them to think we're biased, so we better say good things. And now they're actually starting to be a little critical, occasionally ask a question, say be skeptical of something. Now, we could argue that perhaps this is the natural state of the media, or what they're supposed to do, but that's irrelevant to the picture, really. We just know what they did and what they're doing now, and what they're likely to do in the future, which is, again, sway with the wind. Tell us what they think we want to hear, because that keeps watching during the commercials. Obviously, the media played a huge role in making this war happen. Well, let me back up. Let's ask the broader question of why we're in this war in Iraq. Okay, first you have 9/11 happens. Terrible thing, thousands of people dead, scares the fuck out of the United States of America, who seem to think we were invulnerable. That's a common thought that we've got going here in this country. Now I think what happened at this point, now you have the neoconservatives in the White House who have wanted to invade Iraq for a long time. They really seem to think that we could go in, kick Saddam Hussein out of Iraq, put in a U.S.-friendly government, and then either this example of democracy would spread to the other countries of the Middle East. And by democracy, I of course mean government that looks slightly democratic, that is friends with the United States. The U.S. government tends to not call democracies democracies, and When a country is not friendly, you don't hear the U.S. Elites talking about Venezuela as a democracy. They vote in this guy that the U.S. government doesn't like, they don't call it a democracy. And Iraq, which is, roiling violence sore on the side of the world, that's a democracy. People voted, and then they get snuffed out, authoritarian Shia fundamentalists are taking control, but hey, they voted democracy, they like America, sorta. The end. So the neocons want to invade Iraq, take it over, or at least put a guy they like in charge, and think that this will help shape the rest of the Middle East and make the other countries friendlier to the U.S., or then we could go invade other countries in the Middle East and kick over their governments and put in U.S.-friendly people there. But Americans didn't want to do that. They're all, you know what? We don't feel like going out and killing people and risking our own lives for shit, stuff like that, for geopolitical influence. That's not our style. We just want to watch TV and eat drive-thru. If we can do that, fuck the rest. So what I think happens around this time, George W. Bush, who is the president, as we know, he's an idiot. And the people around him have this agenda. So what I think what they did, this is really, in my mind, what happened. Bush gets scared out of his mind about what happened in 9/11. Oh my God, these two, huge buildings were destroyed, thousands of people dead, they attacked America on our soil, we didn't see it coming. Well, they kind of did. I think his handlers then say, imagine if that had been a nuclear bomb. What if it had a nuclear weapon on board one of those planes? Imagine what would happen. And this just launches Bush's drive for the next, however many years. I think he's afraid, oh my God, What if terrorists get nuclear weapons and use them in the U.S.? And so I think at this point, then, you know, somebody puts the idea in his head, well, you know, Iraq really hates us, and what if they have a nuclear program? Oh, my God, says Bush. We have to take this guy out. I think that Bush is sort of on this crusade against nuclear weapons. You know, he's an idiot and doesn't realize that he's making things worse in a lot of ways. And, of course, you know, he hates all sorts of people. Not a friend of poor people. Doesn't, you know, he seems to think he's better than other people. You know, growing up the, you know, little wealthy elite bastard he is. But, so I think, in my mind, that's where I think Bush is coming from. I think he's terrified that terrorists are going to get nuclear weapons and try to blow up America. And I have a psychology degree, by the way. So that's how I can get inside his head so easily. And everything I say about psychology and other people's brains this way, 100% guaranteed to be correct by the UCLA school who gave me my degree. So you know it's true. So the American people also terrified by the events of 9/11, and you know, Bush's cynical handlers have now said, look at all this other stuff that could happen. We got to go to war. So American people scared of being killed, and tired of feeling scared because they don't know what the hell's going on. Bush, who's scared of the nuclear weapons and by not knowing anything. Then we've also got the media afraid that they're going to be branded as biased or unpatriotic or unpopular. Journalists afraid they're going to lose their jobs or their influence or their connections in the White House. All these fucking scared people said, you know what? Let's just let the president and the military kill thousands and thousands of people who got nothing to do with nothing. And then we'll all get our way. Don't have to feel scared because we're doing taking the path of least resistance. And, you know, they say, you know, given the name, terrorists like to create terror. And the situation I described right there, it's a lot of scared people doing stuff that was based on the actions of these terrorists. So I think it's pretty safe to say the terrorists won. They created their fear, turned the United States, the most powerful country in the world, into this one that was scared of its own shadow. They're scared to let us... We're too scared to let people bring hair gel onto airplanes. People talk about, you know, they're terrified of anybody who, you know, has got a beard or a turban or, you know, lives near a mosque. They got an accent that we're unfamiliar with from another country. Oh, we're scared. They might be terrorists. Gonna kill us. And then, you know, what happened? Didn't some white teenager in Utah go shoot a bunch of people up this week in a mall? You know, it's a lot of misplaced fear. Terrorists win. They got us scared. Well, they got a lot of people scared. I personally not so scared of terrorists. Not because I'm particularly brave, but, you know, you do a little search around, y'all. You know what? The odds that terrorists are going to strike at me here in San Diego are rather small. If you live in... honestly, if you live almost anywhere except maybe L.A., even L.A., when I was living there, I was not very afraid because it's so decentralized. You know, it wasn't like... L.A. isn't like New York that has a big center. You know, there's a downtown and, like, everybody lives there and everybody goes there and, you know, that's the place to attack. If you live in D.C., you live in New York City, you live near a big landmark like, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge or the Space Needle or Mount Rushmore. if you live in a big city like that, you might have some justification for being afraid of a terrorist attack. Most of the country does not. And doesn't need to. But, and of course, forgot to mention in my little Who's Afraid, the Democrats. Democrats being afraid of getting billed as unpatriotic, soft on terrorism, you know, when not getting reelected, when the Bush team put forward that resolution, the authorization for use of military force. I think that's what it was called back before the 2002 elections. Yeah, 2002 elections. The Democrats are too afraid to vote against it, generally speaking. Again, let's kill thousands of people instead of do what's right or do what's risky. Do something that makes me feel scared. Oh, I feel scared because I voted my conscience, I might lose the next election. You know, you Democrats, as far as I'm concerned, you're sacrificial lambs right now. It's very possible that if you vote to defund the war, to actually end the war right now, it's possible you might lose the next election. Your opponent might label you as un-American or soft on terrorism or that you hate the troops. I don't care. Maybe you lose your next election. You know, that's a small price to pay. You know, if things keep going as they are, first of all, again, thousands and thousands more Iraqis going to get killed. If Bush keeps going the way he's going, maybe you get thousands and thousands more Iranians killed. Lots more Americans get killed in the battles in either country. Hopefully this Iran thing isn't going to get off the ground. But if it does, you know, Americans are going to get killed fighting in Iran. Americans are going to get killed by Iranian sympathizers inside Iraq. More and more money lost. You know, the nation continues to go into debt. We might go bankrupt one of these days. And if the country goes bankrupt, you, Democratic congressmen, things will not be so good for you as they are now, as they have been in the past. They will be even compared to a bankrupt country where you get where you're, you know, still in office. Maybe that's worse than one where you lost your job, but the U.S. is still doing decent. So I'm ranting. But, yeah, so the war happened because people were afraid. Things are terrible now because they let their fear get the best of them. And I'm saying that if need be, the Democrats in Congress right now, and I know they want to build power and try to be safe and keep control in the Congress, but they need to do what's right instead. I'm not holding my breath for that to happen. I think you and me got to write to our congressmen and let them know, you know what, we don't like this war. Look at the fucking poll numbers. Like 70% of the country is against this war, and the Democrats are still afraid that supporting it is that you know supporting the end of the war is somehow a dangerous, unpopular position. Stupid bastards. Anyhow, I'm done talking. I'll play some more music. A little J-Live queued up for you. A song called "Satisfied," and. I think you'll like it. Listen to the chorus. I've played it plenty of times on the show before. It's good. If you haven't paid attention before, listen to the chorus. I think you'll like it. Anyway, I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. I'm done. Here we are.
Tragedy, comedy, romance. You better dance when you're fighting stance. So you never have a fighting chance in a rat race where the referee's son started way in advance. But still, you live in the American dream. Silk PJ sheets and down pillows. Who the fuck would wanna wake up? You got it good like hot sex after the breakup. Your four-car garage is just more space to take up. You even bought your mom a new whip, scrapped the jalopy. $1,000 habit, $1 million hobby. You a success story, everybody wanna copy. But few work for it, most get jerked for it. If you think that you can ignore it, you're ignorant. A fat wallet still never made a man free. They say to eat good, yo, you gotta swallow your pride. But that game plan, I'm not satisfied.
The poor get work, the rich get richer. The world gets worse, do you get the picture? The poor gets dead, the rich get depressed. The ugly get mad, the pretty get stressed. The ugly get violent, the pretty get gone. The old get stiff, the young get stepped on. Whoever told you that it was all good lies, throw your fists up if you're not satisfied.
Got my old earth wearing a mask and gloves to get a mail. I know I owe to God that lost 12 close peeps on 911. While you kicking up punchlines and puns, man, fuck that shit. This is serious biz. By time Bush is done, you won't know what time it is. If it's wartime or jail time, time for promises and time to figure out where the enemy is. The same devils that you used to love to hate, they got you so gassed and shook now. You scared to debate. The same ones that traded books for guns, smuggled drugs for funds, and had fun letting off 41. But now it's all about NYPD caps and Pentagon
bumper stickers. But yo, you're still a nigga. It ain't right them cops and them firemen die. That shit is real tragic, but it damn sure ain't magic. It won't make the brutality disappear. It won't pull equality from behind your ear. It won't make a difference in a two-party country if the president cheats to win another 4 years. Now don't get me wrong, there's no place I'd rather be. The grass ain't greener on the other genocide. For tell Huey Freeman, don't forget to cut the lawn and uproot the weeds, cause I'm not satisfied.
The poor get worse, the rich get richer. The world gets worse, you get the picture. The poor gets dead, the rich get depressed. The ugly gets mad, the pretty gets stressed. The ugly get violent, the pretty gets poor. The old gets stiff, the young get stepped on. Whoever told you that it was all good lie. So throw your fists up if you're not satisfied.
Pushers making paper off of pipe dreams. They turn hip-hop to a get-rich-quick scheme. The rich minorities control the government, but they will have you believe we on the same team. So where you stand, huh? What do you stand for? Sit your ass down if you don't know the answer. Serious is cancer. This jam demands your undivided attention, even on the dance floor. Grab the bull by the horns, the bucks by the antlers. Get yours. What are you sweating the next man for? Get down. Feel good to this. Let it ride. But until we all free, I'll never be satisfied.
The poor get worked. The rich get richer. The world gets worse. Do you get the picture? The poor get dead. The rich get depressed. The ugly get mad. The pretty get stressed. The ugly get violent. The pretty get gone. The old get stiff. The young get stepped on. Whoever told you that it was all good lie. So throw your fists up. You're not satisfied. The poor get worse. The rich get richer. The world gets worse. Do you get the picture? The poor gets dead. The rich get depressed. The ugly get mad. The pretty get stressed. The ugly get violent. The pretty get stepped on. Whoever told you that it was all good lie. So throw your fists up if you're not satisfied.
Throw your fists up.
your body makes, that your body makes, that your body makes, that your body makes.
This kind of love is like a cannonball. I crazy, I'm just so mixed up.
Your nose is bloody.
I've been looking into walls and stuff.
Your breath smells funny.
I've been drinking to wake up the guts. Request your presence in the bathroom once the music stops. And like home, but I'm just seeking refuge in a world full of storms, washed up on a distant shore. Can't go home anymore. The natives are hostile, whatever I say. The thing they fear most is that I might want to stay by their side on a distant shore.
This is the tango of a poor man's who stopped the cars of a band ahead. He tried to go where no poor man went before, where he does not belong. Oh, the tango and a poor man, soul for life to buy. Yellow roses for a poor man that ate his heart alive. She danced the tango with a rich man. She found his footsteps she never had. Forgot the sorrow of her motherland while he just stood straight. This is the prison of a poor man. We're doing time and we comprehend. Money has never.
To plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew. Eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still lights of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm, women liberationists, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hey there, folks. Like Me to Bastard Show. Gil Scott Heron there doing The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. Honestly, I probably should have played that earlier in my set about entertainment and its effects on culture and politics. Before that, we had Culture Shock doing Poor Man's Tango, Billy Bragg and the Blokes doing Distant Shore, a nice song about sort of it's sung from the point of view of somebody who's immigrated to presumably to the United States or to Britain, as Billy Bragg's from the UK, and sort of the desperateness of their situation and the sorrow that they can never go home because they're not safe there, can't make a life there. For that, Maxie Gale doing Making Love in the Summertime. Is it in the summertime? Sunshine? Let's call it Making Love. I've played that song a number of times on the show, but apparently that was like a demo version I've been playing this. That was the official album version that I gave you right here. For that, nice little country set song, Great Lake Swimmers doing Your Rocky Spine. The New Rags doing Your Room. We started off with J-Live doing Satisfied. I'm realizing now, earlier I was talking about how the Democrats in Congress needed to do something to actually stop the war in Iraq, no matter what the cost was, and I suddenly recalled what they're doing in Congress right now. They're pushing for a vote on a non-binding resolution to say that they support the troops, but that they're against Bush's plan to surge the troops, to put in 20,000 more troops. So that's what Congress is doing to end the war. Non-binding resolutions. Now, if this non-binding resolution gets them to be a stepping stone, actually pass another law that accomplishes something, then it will be worth it, and I will take back the disgust that I'm slinging their way right now. But man, that's how you end the war, by saying I want to make a state my opinion about the war, but I don't want it to have any effect at all. So wanted to mention a quick announcement here. A few weeks back here in San Diego, some racist scumbags went down into a valley in the city, where a number of illegal immigrants would camp out. That's where they would sleep at night, and then during the day they'd go out and get day laborer sort of jobs, agriculture or carpentry or whatever, you know, helping out to get some money to send back to their families. And while they were there, these racist scumbags went down into the valley, and this is what it's Rancho Penasquitos Canyons, I suppose, and then found the clothing and personal possessions of the people who they'd left them there in that canyon, and the racists went down there and destroyed them. They were slashing clothing with razor blades and work boots with razor blades, destroying, you know, little personal mementos, photos, whatever. So because of that, some local folks have started a collection to try to get clothing and whatnot to bring. Let's see, they're looking for jackets, coats, sweaters, rain ponchos, jeans, shirts, blankets and sleeping bags, waterproof tarps, backpacks, towels, toiletries, etc. to help try to replace what they've lost. I'm sure some folks would say, oh, but you're helping the illegal immigrants and that's illegal, and la 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 la, and I don't care. The people trying to make a living and help their families out, you know, probably you or I, if our choice was no work or a job that barely, you know, that doesn't even feed the family, or crossing an imaginary line on a map and breaking some law you don't care about to feed your family, you'd do it. So I know most of you listening probably don't live in San Diego, so I'll just give you an email address to write to if you want. There might be a way to help out from a distance. Maybe you can send some cash. Rocky@riseup.net, R-O-C-K-Y at R-I-S-E-U-P. .net. Rocky Neptune. He's a local, I believe he came to one of our meetings and talked about having a radio show here, but I think he prefers print journalism and written stuff. And I believe he's also a Quaker, local fella. But Rocky@riseup.net if you want to help out with that. Or if you do live local and you actually want to gather up some of that stuff, phone number 619-687-5109. And as I know all of you are actually listening to the online version of the show, you can just replay that little audio bit if you want to hear where to contact. I want to talk a little about Iran. I'll just talk briefly. The Bush administration was pushing this line earlier in the week. They had proof that this advanced form of roadside bombs were coming from Iran, and they were being sent to Iraq from Iran, from the highest levels of the Iranian government, and were being used to kill Americans. Except, not so much proof. Apparently it was an anonymous... If you looked in all of the news articles, it was anonymous sources who were saying this, which is a bad sign. You know, that's how the Iraq war got started. All sorts of anonymous sources. Oh, we have proof that Saddam Hussein eats puppies and turns them into nuclear weapons. And all that stuff was bullshit. And I am glad that some news outlets are maintaining skepticism. They're no longer in that post-9/11 fear mode. And they could say, you know, show us some goddamn evidence if you want us to actually write about this and say that this actually is true. Now I guess the Bush administration has backpedaled quite a bit, and they're saying now that the unnamed government official in Baghdad who is saying this didn't have the authority to claim that these weapons were actually coming from the highest levels of the Iranian government. There's no evidence that the Iranian government's involved at all, they say, and I just don't understand. I would be surprised if the Iranian government and the Iranian people were not helping the Shia militias in some way. Money, training, weapons. That would not surprise me. But the Shiite militias are not attacking Americans. Not in much numbers, anyway. The Shiites are happy that the Americans are going out and fighting the insurgency. The insurgency is mostly Sunnis. So for the most part, the Shia don't have to attack Americans. Actually, attacking Americans is not in their interest. If they attack Americans, that means that's one American. Every American they kill is an American who's not out killing Sunnis, which is what they would be doing anyway. So that all just sounds like bullshit to me. We will keep you posted. I wanted to mention briefly, somewhat briefly, Amanda Marcotte, who I mentioned at the beginning of the show. I interviewed her on here some time ago, a feminist blogger who was the center of this stupid scandal for a while. Some right-wing Catholic nut jobs. We're trying to say that she hates Catholics and that she should not be part of the Edwards campaign because that meant he hated Catholics and blah, blah, blah. I mean, she, I think Amanda gave a statement at some point where she said that, you know, she didn't mean to offend anybody. I think she writes like I do, where you write what you're feeling, and you're not intentionally trying to offend anybody, but you certainly don't care if the people that you're criticizing, you don't care so much if they're offended. And she did write some stuff. It was mostly about, you know, taking to task Catholic views on women and sex and contraception, abortion, all those sorts of things. And yeah, Catholics not so good on that regard. Anyhow, she quit working for Edwards and has returned to mostly working on her blog. And but she has this entry here where all of these Christians and Catholics who are followers, apparently, of Bill Donahue, the fellow who was railing against her. Donahue, of course, is a bigot, homophobe, racist. It doesn't take too much to look to find these sorts of statements from him. Yet Amanda says some crude things about Catholics' beliefs, and suddenly she's the bad guy. But what's always astounding is hate mail. She posts here some of the hate mail that she got from some of these so-called Christians who were angry that she would say such things about Catholicism. And it's always so sad to read. I mean, when a hate mail is directed at women, it takes so little for suddenly they whip out all of this hateful stuff. It's never like, you know, I disagree with you and you are wrong and you're a bad person. It's like the, you know, bitch, slut, whore sort of stuff comes out at like in like a moment's notice. It's astounding. It's as though so many of these people were just like ruthless woman haters, just a eighth of an inch below the skin. You scratch them just the tiniest bit and it just, it's all there. And so let's read some of these bits from these hate mail letters from Christians angry at Amanda. It starts off with some very light stuff. I pray that I had some small part to play in your resignation from the Edwards campaign, you libelous fraud. Okay, they're angry, and they called names, but they stayed away from the misogyny. Let's see. But then not too much longer. Amanda, after reading your vile screed against Catholics and the Holy Spirit, I just had to see what you looked like. I envisioned you eyebrowless, with no visible pupils and a blank, dead stare. I see I was correct about the blank, dead stare, but other than that, you're not too bad. Then I thought maybe you were mad at God, and by proxy Catholics, for making you ugly, but now I'm figuring you're just mad at him for making you a woman. Now, apparently that was written by a woman. I don't know what to say if you would say that you're angry at being at your gender. Like, if I was to say, I can't phrase it properly, but somehow that the author of that comment apparently doesn't value women so much herself. I don't understand how that works exactly. And then very, very quickly from those relatively light hate mails, you get into the hardcore, you know, evil shit. Problem with women like you, you just need a good fucking from a real man. Living in Texas myself, I know you haven't found that real Texan yet. But once your liberal pro-feminist ass gets a real good fucking, you might see the light. Until then, enjoy your battery-operated toys, because most real men wouldn't want to give you the fucking you deserve because of the shit that would come out of your ears. Actually, sorry. The shit that would come out of you ears. Also in hate mail, a lot of misspellings. I don't quite understand that either. But, you see, having negative views about Catholicism, obvious evidence that somebody needs to get fucked, and that they're not having sex presently. Yeah. That's another really bizarre belief that somehow the power of cock compels you. The power of the dick will make everything all right for a woman. that seems like an unlikely thesis. Let's see. Here's another fella. I like the way you trash talk. I don't particularly want to have sex with you, but I would like a blowjob. I don't know what that has to do with anything. It's just too bad your mother didn't abort you. You are nothing more than a filthy mouth slut. I bet a couple of years in Iraq being raped and beaten daily would help you appreciate America a little. Need a plane ticket? So yeah, this is, as you recall, this is Amanda criticizing Catholicism. Christianity, the whole, you know, Christ loves you, God loves everyone, turn the other cheek, Prince of Peace. This guy's saying that she's a slut and she should be raped and beaten daily. What would Jesus do? Jesus would send you to Iraq for years to be raped and beaten daily. That's what Jesus was all about. Jesus was all about the beating and the rapes. And then, of course, the dreaded caps lock hate mail. That always comes as well. Somebody is so angry, the sheer force of their anger holds down the shift key. Psychically, they're not actually holding it down with a finger. And they type, and man, you get all capitals. So here's her caps lock hate mail. You racist whore, fat ugly bitch, suck my long cock, asshole. I hope you kids never live and your parents die a tragic death. You asshole bitch. I hope your womb is barren and your career plummets to hell, you bitch. So, sounds like she's gotten several hundred emails of that sort. Yeah. I laugh because it's so ridiculous, but I probably should... I guess laughter is a better response than the sort of horror that we should all feel, that this is the response of our fellow human beings to somebody expressing an opinion that they disagree with. One of the positive notes of Amanda quitting this job, well, for me personally, I'm glad because it means she'll be writing on her site more. I didn't actually want to read sort of the, I'm sure, the more moderated stuff that she would have on John Edwards' website. She also mentions that she now will spend a portion of her time trying to take down that Donahue fellow. Not Phil Donahue, this... the Catholic nut job of which we have been referring to. I forget his name already. I think it's Michael Donahue. He's the one who was trying to criticize her and say that she was anti-Catholic and get her fired. She has found a possible part of tax law, which would say that Michael Donahue's Catholic League, which is a non-profit organization that he runs, that he may have violated the laws of non-profit organizations by saying these things and working to get her fired. And so she or somebody are going to file some paperwork with the IRS, saying that, you know, perhaps they violated the non-profit tax code and they should no longer be a non-profit. Which would be funny. I have way too much more stuff to mention here. Let me find one little bit that's media related. Okay, my computer's freezing. I'll come back to that perhaps. No, wait. Let's type. A little bit of news on the pirate radio front. Let's see. Okay, this is new at the top. I'm going to DIYmedia.net, John Anderson's website about independent media with a large focus on pirate radio. Let's see. They have a loophole, apparently, that's been created for low-power FM. Radio Goldfield, a pirate station run by seasoned citizen Rod Moses out of his trailer in Goldfield, Nevada, population 440, has received special temporary authority from the FCC to operate a 100-watt FM outlet without an official license until such time as the FCC opens another low-powered FM filing window. And apparently he had the backing of Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, which could help. He stated that... Radio Goldfield programming brought regular weather reports to this high desert area of Nevada, where conditions can abruptly change in oftentimes dramatic ways. Radio Goldfield programming also included timely and reliable information on law enforcement, public safety, and school activities that helped residents of Goldfield stay informed and engaged in their community. Moreover, the station broadcasted Sunday religious services that were listened to faithfully by those living too far from a place of worship, or those simply too feeble to make weekly journey there practicable. And also, oldies played off of an MP3 player. Another article on DIY Media that's talking about a, where did it go? A community college in, I guess unless where. Where did it go? Oh, Texas. There was a community college, KTPB, had a radio station, and this, they call them Godcasters, this religious, this front group for a religious organization has been getting hold of these low-power radio licenses and then selling them, or using them to rebroadcast existing religious content. So it, so really you're like this little religious station, but now with all of these further transmitters, you can cover a much wider area. But all these people complained because the FCC was going to take the community that take KTPB away from the community college and give them to one of these Godcasters. And all these people wrote to the FCC and complained, and the FCC said, well, we're not going to not give it away, but we'll give you permission to apply for a low-power frequency station to use for the community college. So, some fun stuff there. Oh, and then, where'd it go? San Francisco Liberation Radio apparently yesterday had a court date where they are contesting the method by which the FCC seized their gear in 2003. According to the lawyers, the FCC utilized a maritime law to conduct the raid without giving advance notice to the station, arguing that a radio station is like a ship that may sail away in the night. The station, with a volunteer staff of nearly 60 people, was located in a house firmly rooted upon land and posed no danger of trying to escape, nor was it interfering with any other station's broadcasts. It had been broadcasting at 100 watts in San Francisco for 11 years and been in consistent contact with the FCC regarding licensing matters. So, interesting. Anyhow, I'm going to get out of here. I've talked a lot. My throat hurts. Radio. Yeah. I'm going to end here with a little, I guess I started with some, well, not beginning of the show, I had some Rage Against the Machine. Got to go out with a little bit of Zach De La Rocha from, also from Rage Against the Machine, him with DJ Shadow. And allegedly Zach De La Rocha is going to perform in mid-April at, in Chicago. There is going to be a big two-day protest outside of McDonald's headquarters by the same people who brought you the Taco Bell boycott. Trying to get better prices and better working conditions for the farm workers who actually pick the produce that goes into the food. So I'll keep you updated about that. Anyhow, Zach De La Rocha, DJ Shadow, doing March of Death. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastards. I am gone.
Rock and roll music is the main weapon.
Of a riot of storm, lightning to function the form, far from the normal, follow like cattle, I'm more like the catalyst, calm in the midst of battle, let the cowboy on the saddle, you don't know a whistle from a gavel, terror to the revolution that walk in as a flesh, but I'm back in the sights of my foes and friends, with the force of the pen, against the line of old power to bend, then a curse of murderous men, in suits of professionals who act like animals, man child, ruthless and wild, who wouldn't riot, a storm, lightning to function the form. Far from the normal, follow like cattle, I'm more like the catalyst. Calm in the midst of battle, who let the cowboy on the saddle? He don't know a missile from a gavel. On the left, right, on the left, on the left, on the left, left, right. today. Oh boy, a snapshot of a midnight joy. Victims powerless, devour my hours, I'm motionless with no rest. Just a scream that holds the sky under another high-tech drive-by. Game.